This Crown Royal Purple Bag Project 200 Betting Picks edition of the NASCAR Gambling Podcast here on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Best Ball Mania is live with $15 million in prizes. Sign up with promo code RACESGPN to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code RACESGPN. We're also brought to you by Royal Retros. Royal Retros has jerseys, t-shirts, hats, jackets, and sweatshirts from all the old school teams that you love. Use promo code SGPN for 10% off of your order today. That's code SGPN at RoyalRetros.com.
Drivers, start your engine!
Strap in and pull those belts up tight as the Sports Gambling Podcast Network presents the NASCAR Gambling Podcast.
I'll wreck my mom to win a championship. I'll wreck your mom to win a championship.
With all the news and the best bets for your NASCAR weekend.
It refrains me from not beating the out of you right now because you ask me stupid questions. But since I'm on probation, I suppose that that's improper to say as well. If you could talk about racing things, we could talk about racing things.
Now, here are your hosts, Rod Villagomez and Cody Zeeb.
Welcome in, everyone, to another episode of the NASCAR Gambling Podcast here on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. He's Cody Zeeb. I'm Rod Villagomez. It is still Darlington weekend. It is still throwback weekend, as you can see on the YouTube. Cody's still rocking the throwbacks. Cody's got the Interstate hat on and the Paul Menard number 27 t-shirt. Well, Cody, you're tossing it way back, aren't you?
Yeah, buddy. Paul Menard, the 27 RCR Menard's car. And yes, the beautiful Interstate Batteries Bobby Labonte hat, continuing the throwback weekend theme.
I have got the Jimmy Johnson 2010 championship shirt. It's really nothing special. However, it's Jimmy Johnson, his championship shirt from 2010, back when he won that one. And I got this as a present for Christmas, I believe. So pretty excited about that. Throwing it back to 2010, 14 years ago, Cody. Oh, my God.
Jeez, that's, don't remind me.
I mean, listen, I know I'm old, but sometimes you got to make yourself feel old, don't you?
It's, I got married in 2010. So it's, long time ago.
Beautiful stuff. Again, like I said, this is the Darlington weekend. We are covering today the Xfinity series because all three series are in action. So we are taking this episode to cover Xfinity. And then, of course, we'll cover trucks on Thursday and then DFS episode on Friday, as well as our Underdog Fantasy picks as well. Some news, actually, Cody, that came out today. There's a already silly season beginning before we've even begun.
Yeah, silly season is officially underway, Rod. So
you're good. I was just refocusing my camera. I didn't mean to throw you off. Like my camera.
I was like, is he telling me to stop or what's going on?
No. I'd mute your mic if I had you to stop. No, I was refocusing my camera. Sorry, guys, listening on anyways. The podcast. You were like, what the hell?
Yeah, what the hell is he talking about? But that's why you watch the YouTube, right? You get to see all these fun behind the scenes things. So yeah, Michael McDowell tweeted out a statement this morning. For the last 7 years, been fortunate to call Front Row Motorsports home, blah, blah, blah. His time at Front Row Motorsports will be done at the end of the season. Rod, moments later, Spire has some news. They've signed Michael McDowell to a multi-year contract to drive the number 71 Chevrolet. He'll replace Zane Smith, who's been on loan from Spire. Who's been on loan from Trackhouse. So Zane Smith, a Trackhouse driver that's loaning to Spire. Spire owns the charter, owns the car. So, McDowell's been with Ford and with Front Row Motorsports for 7 years now. Obviously won the Daytona 500 a couple of years ago. Was able to also win a road course at the Indianapolis Road Course. Was that just this past season, I think, actually. So they accomplished quite a few things there. Now he's going to move over to Spire. Some are saying kind of an interesting move. Like, are you... it seems like it could be a downstep in some ways. I would say that there could be an argument made there, but I could also say Front Row notoriously only does one-year contracts, Rod. They do not do multi-year contracts, 1 year at a time. So there's no certainty on your future. Every single season, McDowell comes up and has to wonder, am I going to be back in this ride next year? And he's been in the Cup Series a long time. I mean, he's got well over 500 career. He's probably over 600 at this point, career starts. He's been around a long time, but with a lot of different teams as well, and different manufacturers also throughout his time. But this gives him the comfort and security of a multi-year deal, right? Contracts can always be bought out. Things can happen, but it's there, right? It's in the contract. He should be there for the next few years. Gives him the comfort of that. Spire is a team that clearly is making big moves and trying to take the next step. So, you know, we've seen them from starting out with four employees and Corey LaJoie, right? To, or however many it was, to now they've upgraded. They paid $40 million for a third charter. They bought the KBM truck team. They're making big investments. Look at what Carson Hocevar is doing in that car this year in the 77, right? We haven't seen the results out of the 71. Is that because the third car is a little slower coming along, or is that a Zane Smith thing, right? We don't know necessarily, but look at the front row cars. Yeah, there's some good weeks, right? And they always look good at the plate tracks and stuff, but outside of that, I know he won a road course last season, which is great. But I mean, I don't think there's any reason he couldn't do that in a Chevy for Spire just as much as he does it with front row. But there seems to be an influx of money over at Spire. The Andretti, you know, Gainbridge type of deal comes in there. So I think it's probably a positive move. McDowell seems to me like a pretty smart guy, knows what he's doing. I don't think he would do it if it wasn't a good move. And I think there's probably a lot to be said about those extra years of security and knowing, hey, this is going to be my home for the next few years. Because with front row, yeah, they like him. Yeah, they've brought him back seven times, right? Or six times after the first try. But every single season you have to go through, well, is he coming back? Well, is it, you know? And there have been rumors that SHR was courting him before, trying to get him, and he didn't go. Maybe he felt like he missed an opportunity there. Although now that's maybe looking like it maybe wasn't such a bad idea if they're going to be selling off pieces. But yeah, so kind of interesting first domino to fall. Opens up a lot of questions though, Rod, because now the third car is open, right? So who's going to take that? And Zane Smith doesn't have a ride, but he is under contract for multiple years with Trackhouse. Daniel Suarez's contract is up. Is Trackhouse trying to get one of these SHR charters? Is Suarez out the door? So many questions starting to open up, and that's what we love about silly season. And they're starting it nice and early this year, right? It's barely May. It's the second week of May.
Yeah, we're not even to the hardcore months of summer yet before all of this stuff is breaking. So gotta love it. I'll give you my thoughts here in a second, but I want to ask you, are you a hardcore baseball fan or just a degenerate sitting in an office looking for some afternoon action? Either way, you're going to want to check out and make sure you subscribe to the MLB Gambling Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Of course, MLB season fully in swing, and we fully endorse the MLB Gambling Podcast, so make sure you check and subscribe and listen to that. So for Michael McDowell, again, this is one of those situations where, you know, he's not getting any younger for sure. He's one of the older drivers. I say older, it's just nowadays when you're watching the trucks and you see all these kids come up and then the Arca Menards and they're even more kids. Like, yeah, Michael McDowell is definitely older in age, but yeah, there's some stability in Spire. And honestly, I don't think this is a gigantic step backwards like some people are thinking, because with Spire, I think he's going to get a much better opportunity week after week, like you said, with Carson Hocevar, right? I mean, and look, Corey LaJoie, for as much as we like to say that he's stacking those pennies, he can pop his head up every once in a while and do well on these Spire cars. So as much as front row, I think front row is more because he drives that 34. It's like we always talk about how you can outdrive your equipment. Like, I think he's a kind of guy that can outdrive his equipment. So you put him in Spire equipment, you know, that Chevy, and we know Chevy's money, those pockets run deep. So, you know, if they can continue to put the pennies behind him, then I think he's definitely got a better shot at a good season.
Yeah, totally agreed. I think you're right. He is 39, by the way. Only 477 Cup Series starts, so I thought it was more than that. But 94 Xfinity starts as well, so... his two wins, of course. I didn't know, Rod. He is the 2004 Star Mazda Championship champion.
Ooh, that's I didn't know that either. Yeah.
It's an open wheel racing thing. So I'm in part of the. It's the third step in the road to Indy. It's now called the USF Pro 2000 Championship. But Yeah, I remember he came up as an open wheel guy and then transitioned over to the stock cars. So here we are. And yeah, I think overall probably more of a lateral move than anything, but brings him that security. And I think that Spire has definitely proven that they have a lot to build on and that they are willing to invest and will continue to invest. I mean, $40 million for a charter last year that we don't even know if charters are going to exist after this season shows how willing to invest they are, I think.
I think so as well. Well, McDowell does not drive an Xfinity car. However, he used to once upon a time. And that is what we are focusing on today. The Crown Royal Purple Bag Project 200. I got to tell you, buddy, I love me some Crown Royal. So pretty excited about this. That purple bag, how many people actually use that purple bag for stuff after Cody grabs his purple bag?
It's not purple, but it's a Crown Royal bag.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like those bags, those are probably the best marketing tool ever.
Yeah, they are. They're great. They're wonderful. Everybody loves the little Crown Royal bags.
Yeah, because you use them for everything. People are like, oh, you got some Crown Royal? No, I already drank that. This is the bag. So, and raise your hand out there if you have one. I know you do. Believe me, everybody's got one. And it's got everything but Crown Royal in it. So love that. Love it. It is. We are set for 147 laps around this 1.366-mile paved track for 200.802 miles of action around the Darlington Raceway. We talked about it in the Cup Series show yesterday, Cody. This is not a kind track to drivers. There are many, many obstacles facing. You may not think so on a simple oval track. However, this track is not a simple oval.
Yeah, I mean, is it an oval? I guess it's technically an oval, but it's a very funny shaped oval, of course, the egg shape. And yeah, we talked about it yesterday, right? It's got all the nicknames, the Lady in Black, Too Tough to Tame. You're going to get here all weekend about the Darlington Stripe, because cars are going to be hitting the fence. You know, is built, got the egg shape because they had to build around the Minnow Pond. So you got the bigger corner on one side, the smaller corner on the other side. Your car's going to handle good on one side, not good on the other side, or differently at least. So it makes for exciting racing, makes for fun racing, and makes for tough racing as well.
Yeah, you're going to hear complaining all over the place. I'm tight in one and two. I'm loose in three and four. What the hell am I? I don't know what's going on.
And then it's
going
to flip. You know, they're going to fix one, and it's going to fuck up the other one. So then it'll be loose in one and tight in the other one.
Yeah, I would not want to drive. Well, I take that back. I think I'd want to experience it a couple of laps. Maybe not 147 of them, but this is relatively quick, right, for a race. I mean, the Cup guys are going a couple hundred laps. These guys are going half of that. So this is going to go by very, very quickly, as most truck races do, but this is an Xfinity race is going to go by quickly.
Yeah, absolutely, Rod. 38 cars entered for this race. William Byron is going to dip his toes down, bring back the Hendrick 17 car, so he will be in the race. He is the betting favorite in this one. Taylor Gray is back in the 19 car again. Eric Almirola returns in the 26 car. John Hunter Nemechek, this is important to note, is in the race, but he's in the 26 this week, Rod, not the 20. I know there's going to be some on him. His odds are definitely a little bigger this week because it's not quite as good of a car. So don't look at it and be like, oh, John Hunter, well, he's been so great. It is a different car. We're still going to make a case for him here in a bit. But notable that it is the 26 that he's in. Carson Quadpole, 2 for 2 in his career top fives. He is back again for Junior Motorsports in the 88. And yeah, that's pretty much all your notable guys. So as far as Cup guys, you know, William Byron coming down and then Almirola is back, obviously no longer a full or a Cup guy at all. Just part-time Xfinity. But yeah, those are your big notables here.
You know, and most of them.
John Hunter, I guess.
Well, and John Hunter, but he's not. Does he count anymore? I don't know.
He does, but again, I keep forgetting he's in the Cup Series.
He's that freshman in college that keeps coming down into the high school seniors just to like brag about the fact that he's in college for a little while, and then the senior's like, oh, that's so cool, where when he goes back to college and he's like the low man on the totem pole and no one cares about him. But anyways, so with that said, with the odds, you know, normally when you get these Cup guys down, it like really suppresses the odds. Cody, I was a little surprised that this did not necessarily suppress the odds that much for some of these other drivers.
Yeah, I think it maybe did on some, but like on some, I don't know. I've got a lot of comments as we go through here. Some guys just being clearly disrespected this week, despite being good, solid Xfinity Series regulars. But then like some guys they're not sleeping on at all. And you got Sheldon Creed as one of the favorites because he's been really good at this track. I would have loved to have bet him this week, but not at this low of a number. Like if he wins, fine. We'll just miss out on it. But, Yeah, it is an interesting. We were kind of talking about this before the show. Not a ton of selection out there. Caesars is all jacked up. Half their shit's hiding behind the speakeasy wall. So, again, if you don't know the password to the speakeasy, hit us up and we'll help you find your way over there. Their shit just gets worse every day, I swear. But not a ton of great options. But the options that I found, I really like what I got. So, yeah, there's man, I really can't believe the number on some of these guys. So I'm pretty excited for this this card this week.
It's like shopping at a grocery store in a small town where there's not a lot, but the quality's okay, but you don't have a whole lot of selection. So you better hope that you like what you get. So love that. All right, we will set the bets up. But first, I want to tell you, as I do each and every day, about Underdog Fantasy. The NBA playoffs are here. Our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy, wants to make it a lot more interesting for you because Underdog Fantasy, it is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. You can play Pick'em. Their Pick'em game's easy. All you got to do is select higher or lower on player stats like points, rebounds, assists, and so much more. And in the world of racing, just pick better than or worse than the projected finishing position of the driver. Really that simple. Stack them up to five. Watch that multiplier go on there, and you can win yourself quite a bit of money. You can make entries in just basketball if you want, or you can mix and match across the other sports like racing, like baseball, like hockey still going on. You can win up to 100 times your money, and it is a ton of fun. New customers, you're going to get a Pick'em special in the lobby when you sign up. Plus, Underdog is going to be running a ton of different promos, bonus cash airdrops, specials, giveaways, and so much more through the NBA playoffs. So make sure to follow at Underdog Picks on Twitter to keep an eye out. Underdog's available in 30 and more states, including California, Texas, and Canada. Plus, they just launched Champions, their player versus player format in Florida. Sign up today with the promo code RACESGPN to claim your special pick and a first-time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code RACESGPN. Well, Cody, it is that time. Let us start giving out our bets for this Crown Royal Purple Bag Project 200, which, by the way, I'm going to be out of town tonight. I think I may grab myself a Crown Royal and you know, just celebrate this race in only a way that a Crown Royal and that purple bag can.
Get you one of those purple bags, Rod. Advertising works, and this is why. Man, I wish I had some old Jamie McMurray 26 Crown Royal gear to put on for this week. That would be pretty sweet. Always loved that car. It was always a pretty looking car. All right, Rod, you know what's going to be a pretty looking car. It's going to be Chandler Smith when he gets in the top five this week. Plus 140. Have we not watched the Xfinity series this year, Rod?
No, they have not.
I don't really know what we're doing here. Chandler Smith is in the fastest car in the series, and he is one of the best regular drivers, period. Okay, you've got William Byron in this race, right? So that's notable. Eric Almirola is in this race. I think that that's notable, but do I place Eric Almirola as one of the favorites? Absolutely not at this race, I don't think. John Hunter's in the race, but he's not even in a Gibbs car, so it's going to be a little bit of a tougher road for him in the 26. I mean, yes, you've got your regulars like Justin Allgaier who can't be, you know, relied on week to week. Like, why is he plus 140 for a top five this week, Rod? This makes zero sense to me. It's not... There's not Kyle Larson and William Byron and Kyle Busch and Denny Hamlin all in this race, and they're going to push these regulars out. Like, I don't get it. And I guess maybe we're looking at the last couple of races, right? He was seventh at Dover. They didn't race last week at Kansas, so 2 weeks ago, seventh at Dover. Really was unimpressive there. I mean, I was highly disappointed with him. He finished 25th at Talladega, but Rod, throw it out at Talladega. 15th at Texas. He led 26 laps earlier in the race. Sheldon Creed wrecked him. And then even with a shitty beat-up car, he still made it back to 15th. It's not like that was the worst day ever. But before that, third at Martinsville, led 37 laps. One Richmond, where he went, led 76 laps. Third at Las Vegas, where he led 74 laps. One Phoenix, where he led 88 laps. I just don't quite understand it. You go back and look at his track history here, Rod. Yeah, he's 12th and 36th last year. Not a bunch of great finishes here, but he wasn't in the Joe Gibbs Toyotas that are the fastest cars each and every week. This number is way off. It should not be this way. I would think by the time we get to the race, especially once we get through practice and qualifying, this number is not going to be here still. Chandler Smith is the best car out there every single week. And right now, I would say the best of the regulars each and every week. So I don't understand why this number is so big. absolutely love this for Chandler Smith, a plus 140 for a top five.
Yeah, and again, for Chandler Smith, too, like, pianos don't fall out of the sky on him nearly as often as some of these other drivers as well. So he manages to keep himself, and even when he has a start in the back, he still has fast enough cars to jet all the way to the front, whether that's through some sort of strategy or just his pure speed alone. We've seen Chandler Smith do it.
Yeah, that's a great point, too. I don't care where he starts this week, Rod. If this number goes up, I will be betting it again. I mean, if he has a bad qualifying run or doesn't look that great in practice, I don't care, because he is a fast car. He's a great driver. I mean, everything has been set up for them this season. Couple of rough weeks here, yes, but some extenuating circumstances, being a super speedway, being a wreck. You know, Dover was just disappointing, but Dover is kind of its own animal. It's different. Darlington also its own animal and different, but he looked strong in Las Vegas earlier this season, which is the other intermediate besides Texas. He got in the wreck of Texas. So, yeah, I'm not worried about Smith at all. And I think this is a way overreaction to a couple of things happening over the last few races, and time to take advantage of this and look back and laugh, hopefully on Sunday night or Monday when we're recapping this and, you know, we've cashed it.
Yeah, well, if you consider a seventh place at Dover disappointing, I'm sure. And then, of course, that 37th start at Martinsville into a third place finish, one of the things for sure. All right, my first bet is going to be young Jesse Love. We're going to take him in a head-to-head this time because I'm not quite sure where I want to put him in the running order, especially with guys like Byron in the mix, especially with guys like John Hunter in the mix. Like, I can't guarantee that he's going to be a top five car, so I don't want to take that stab. I know that you're gonna make something there in a little bit, right? So, or no?
Well, no, I took it. His top five in here, but I changed it because I agree with you. I think he'll be maybe close. And his number is not bad. You got to fix your graphic, Rod.
Yeah,
sorry.
I got to fix my graphic.
Messed it
it's
up.
All right.
But,
it's all right.
Yeah, but I agree with you. I think he's going to have a good day. I think he's going to be in competition for the top five. But I found a different top five that I liked a little bit more. But I like this bet instead of doing the top five, because I feel, you know, you're not going to have to be top five to cash the bet that you have.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to take Jesse Love over Brandon Jones. This is at minus 110. I know it's not as sexy as a top five number, but again, I don't need to worry about what position Jesse Love finishes in, because I still think whatever that is, he's going to finish better than Brandon Jones. Look, Brandon Jones, since he's been in this nine car for Junior Motorsports on Darlington as an Xfinity driver, great starts. Right, he started on the pole in 2022. Well, that was in the 19. He started in 11th place in 2023. Finished 34th after he crashed out. Again, a common theme with Brandon Jones, just getting himself in the wrong place at the wrong time. In 2023, in the fall, he started 8th, finished 14th on this. His average finish on this track between, and it's not as if he's been in terrible equipment either in his entire career. He was in the Joe Gibbs 19.
Never been in bad equipment.
That's what I'm saying. He was in the Joe Gibbs 19 car, right, for the most part, and the 9 car in Junior Motorsports, and the 33
and
for Childress.
Before that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
he's always been in good equipment.
Exactly. His average start, 14.5. His average finish, 14.8. He is literally starting and finishing right around the same place. Now, he does have a win here, but he's only got 5 top 10s in 12 career starts on this track. Not a strong track for Brandon Jones. Not a strong season for Brandon Jones either this year. His average finish, 18.4. His average start, 12. Again, not finishing where he started. He's only got 3 top 10 finishes in 10 starts. You want to look at Las Vegas? He did have a top 10 start. He finished 9th in Las Vegas. That's fine. Martinsville, though, he started on the pole. Hey, stop me if you've heard this one before. Crashed, finished 27th. And then Dover started on the pole. Oh, guess what? Finished 19th. Didn't get the finish that he wanted out of Dover as well. So not a great start to Brandon Jones' season. However, you flip that page to one Jesse Love. Jesse Love finished 24th in Dover last week. There's no way that he's going to cash this head-to-head over Brandon Jones. Oh, wait. He won at Talladega, 9th at Fort Worth, 9th at Martinsville, 5th at Richmond, 6th at Austin, 2nd at Phoenix, 17th at Vegas. I'll give him a pass. He was still learning how to race. But boy, once he figured it out in Phoenix, everything else clicked from there. Average finish this year, 10.5. Now, his average start is 6.8. So you can basically say, but Rod, you just said he never started. Well, yeah, but when you're starting 6.8 and you're finishing 10, that's a little more forgivable than when you're starting 14th and finishing 14th, or starting, what did I say, 12th and finishing 18th for Brandon Jones. Most certainly, getting behind the Love train here because, again, he's just shown that that two car was actually fast. It wasn't just Sheldon Creed that made that car fast. So, and in some cases, Jesse Love made it faster. So I'm going to take Jesse Love over Brandon Jones. This could be an 11th and 13th place finish for Love finishing over Jones. I don't have to sweat it. As long as that hits, I'm cashing.
Yeah, like I said, I really like this one, and I was trying to find a way to get in on Love, so I'm glad that you did. I think that he's really proven it this season. And with Jones, as much as I love him, as much as he can pop up and have a good run here or there, he's so inconsistent that it makes it easy to bet against him when it comes to the head-to-heads.
Yep, so definitely love in this situation over Brandon Jones. You know what else I love? I love old school stuff. Why? Because I am old school. And if you're looking to prove that you know ball, what better way than to showcase your old school fandom than with some old school gear from a classic team? Royal Retros has jerseys, t-shirts, hats, and jackets, sweatshirts, and more from the vintage sports leagues and teams that you know and love. You like the Dirty Bird, you like the Orange Crush, or the Sack Exchange. All make for sick jerseys for real fans. Oh, look at, I already picked three that I like for this graphic. Look at the San Francisco Seals jersey up there. The Barcelona Dragons from the World Football League. Get out of here. Sacramento Gold Miners from the Canadian Football League. Woo, those would look so slick on me, on you, on anything. Look, find all those retro jerseys that you like. Plus, they've got some old school Arena Football League stuff. They've got some old school UFL stuff, USFL stuff, XFL stuff. So much stuff on there. And again, if you love rocking the old school stuff, you're going to love Royal Retros. If you use promo code SGPN, you're going to get 10% off of your order today. That's code. And this is perfect for throwback weekend for Darlington, right? All these retro jerseys and all these retro hats and everything. Make sure you hit there. That's code SGPN at royalretros.com to take 10% off today.
Wow, Rod. I was just looking through their stuff. Wow, they've got, we need to get some NASCAR stuff over there. We'll work on that, right? It'd be a good place to have some throwback gear for this weekend. But man, they've got all sorts of stuff that's old school. So yeah, I think I'll be doing some shopping later now.
How sexy is all of that too? Man, I was looking through it too as I was making that graphic and I was like, man,
and there's like old ABA stuff and all sorts of, you know, old, was it baseball leagues? You know, they've got the Negro leagues, minor league stuff, federal league, the senior league. Oh yeah, man. A lot of really cool old gear over there. San Francisco Sea Lions for you, Rod.
Mm-hmm. I'm loving it. That's what I say. I want the Gold Miners jersey. That's what I want. I love me some Sacramento Gold Miners. So
I like it. You know what I want, Rod?
What do you want, Cody?
I want Sam Mayer to have a good weekend.
Look at you.
And again, this is another spot where I just don't understand. Right? This is kind of the opposite of Chandler Smith. He started the season bad, but he's been on fucking fire lately, Rod, and you're still getting good numbers on him. So Sam Mayer for a top five, plus 220. Top finishing Chevrolet, plus 750. Let's look at the Chevrolet market like we do every week in Xfinity, Rod. A lot of unknowns, right? William Byron is at the top, obviously, as he should be. And he'll probably win this race and finish the best. But how many times have we seen that 17 car out here? And how many times have we seen it in victory lane? Once, I think Larson finally got it done at Coda, right? Which wasn't going to win unless we had that really late caution, right? Even though it was Kyle Larson on a road course and all of that. So, it's not a foregone conclusion that William Byron just runs away with this. Then after that, you got Justin Allgaier, who's unreliable. I mean, and then really, you know, you've got a bunch of guys that, yeah, they can be good, but you know, A.J. Allmendinger maybe hangs around. Austin Hill hangs around. Jesse Love should have a good day. But Sam Mayer, plus 750 for top finishing Chevrolet. Just crazy, Rod. Plus 220 for top five. Also crazy for him. Look, here's his last couple of races, right? Third at Dover, one Texas, second place at Martinsville. I mean, we're on fire here. I left Talladega out because nobody cares because super speed. It doesn't matter. He is on fire on the traditional oval tracks here. Been doing well. Third place at Dover, one Texas. Those are two intermediate tracks. This is an intermediate track and sort of like a cross right in the middle of those two tracks. So pretty good runs for him here lately. Last spring, he was eighth place here, led 35 laps, 11th in the fall. Had a fifth place finish here in 2022, Rod. Well before he broke out and is now, what, a five- or six-time winner in Xfinity Series? Like, it's a different Sam Mayer. He's had good runs here prior to being the Sam Mayer that we know now, they had an extremely rough start to the season, right? It's well documented. He couldn't, I mean, the pianos were falling off of Justin Allgaier's car right into his car, right? But now we've kind of cleaned things up, and we've got three straight top fives on oval tracks here outside of super speedways. Three straight top threes, actually, with a first, second, and third. So I don't understand why Sam Mayer is being slept on this week. I think you're getting really good numbers here for his top five at plus 220, top finishing Chevrolet at plus 750. Again, just with Chandler Smith and him so far, you're getting two guys should be good and are some of the top drivers in this series, just flat out being disrespected with their numbers this week. And it's kind of the angle I'm taking on a lot of my stuff this weekend.
So I want you to make sure that you blink if you're okay, because you are endorsing a junior motorsports driver today as well. So, okay, good. He's okay. Everybody, he's okay.
I'm perfectly fine. Yes. No gun to my back or anything here. But yeah, I mean, it's the numbers just are, you know, and again, like I would love to get Justin Allgaier this type of number, right? But you're never going to see it. And that's what makes him hard to bet on, because he's like Kyle Larson in the Cup Series, where he's so short every week. And you know he can do it, and if he comes out, leads every lap this weekend and wins, like, you're not going to be shocked. But when he's leading with seven laps to go and the tire blows, and you're thinking to yourself, well, we fucking saw this coming, because it's always something, you know. But with Sam Mayer, well, if he doesn't do great, fine. There are bigger odds anyways, but he could also come out and lead every lap this weekend, and I wouldn't be surprised. So, I think you're getting really good value here on Mayer.
I concur. Well, you talked about trying to get Justin Allgaier in there, especially as a top five car, because guess what? There's no top tens. But look, Justin Allgaier's number for a top five finish is at plus 130. Cole Custer's is at plus 160. So I'm going to sweeten the pot, because I think both of them will be inside of the top five at the end of the day. And I'm going to put both Cole Custer and Justin Allgaier inside of the top five. This is at plus 220. Is it a gigantically big number compared to what you're getting to bet either one of them? No, but I will tell you right now, it's still better of a number, because I think both of them are going to end up finishing inside of the top five here. Look, I'm going to read you off these guys' stats at Darlington, and you're going to go, wow. But then you're going to go, but Rod, Cody just told me that Justin Allgaier is inconsistent, and I know he is. I get it. It hurts, but it's gambling. It's betting. It's not, you know, a sure foregone conclusion. You're going to have some risks and take some chances, but the reward will be better when it actually pays off. At Darlington, for Justin Allgaier, I'm going to go back to the 2020 season, and where he finished third in the first race of that 2020 season. He finished 31st in the second race, so, I mean, not good day from there. But anyways, he won the 2021 race in the spring. He finished 6th in 2021 in the fall. He won the spring race in 2022. Noticing a pattern here. He finished 4th in the spring, or in the fall race, rather. And then he won, or second place in the spring race of 2023. So, if we are keeping track, that is three top two finishes in the spring race on this track. 7th place finish in 2023 in the fall. Now, this is not like the Cup race where there's a different distance between the spring and the fall, so you can sort of take all of these and lump them all together, because they're all 200-mile races around this track in Darlington for the Xfinity Series. So, still, again, that's a lot of top two finishes within the last few seasons. Overall in his career, 13 top 10 finishes in 17 starts, 7 top 5 finishes, an average starting position of 9.3, average finishing position of 8.2. Translate that to this season, it's not the same. And I understand that. His average start, 10.6. Average finish, 16.2. He finished 17th last week at Dover after starting third. He led 39 laps in that race. Probably should have been in the mix for the win, right? But he wasn't, unfortunately, at the end of it. And then you talk about what happened to him in Phoenix, right? Dude had a lead. Dude could have won. And then Piano falls out of the sky. Starts 59th, leads 52 laps, and that one finishes 28th. However, I'm going to point to a couple of tracks that I think don't necessarily comp, but Martinsville started 5th, finished 5th. Fort Worth, right, in Texas, started 6th, finished 3rd. He can do it. He's capable of doing it. He's capable of winning any single race that you put him in and any track that you put him in. The question is, can he do it? So that's the only thing that you're sort of hanging your head on. Now, as far as Cole Custer is concerned, this dude is money on this track. His last three finishes have all cashed this bet. He won in 2019. He finished 3rd in 2023 in the spring, and 4th in the fall of 2023. He has got 4 top 5 finishes and 5 starts. The only one in which he did not finish inside of the top 5 was his very first start here in 2017, where he promptly ended up starting 4th and finishing 9th. Still a top 5 start, though, in his first start here as well. For Cole Custer, a little more consistent this season. Average start, 6th. Average finish, 7.8. He did finish 5th at Dover. He finished 5th at Texas. He finished 8th at Martinsville after starting 2nd, but he led 27 laps in that. He was a fast-ass car. He started on the pole in Phoenix, finished 5th, started on the pole in Las Vegas, and finished 2nd. Cole Custer may not always be in line to win a race, but he sure as hell is a top-5 car, a lot like what we were talking about with Austin Hill, although Cole Custer's cashing this more. 5 top-5s in 10 starts. Half the time he's doing it. I think this is one of those other half of the time that he's going to do it. So put these both in the top 5 at plus 220.
Yeah, I don't love it. But if the chalk hits as it, you know, if it go race goes as it should and the chalk hits, these guys should easily be in the top 5. Both should be competing for this win. Both could easily win this race. So, you know, looking back, it might be like, wow, look how easy that was for sure, Rod. One that I think could be easy as well, as much as Caesar's, you know, user interface sucks, at least they're giving us a nice head-to-head matchup here, Rod. They have got Chandler Smith versus Austin Hill. And Chandler Smith is at even money, plus 100, Rod. These things do not go together. This is not, again, what? I mean, did somebody just get hired, like, within the last 3 weeks? And they're like, oh, this Chandler Smith guy sucks. And they're like, I just don't understand what we're doing here. Why are we disrespecting this guy? Look, the Austin Hill thing is the same thing as every other week, right? He's going to be in contention for a top 5 at the end of the day. I think he's like plus 150 for a top 5, which is basically the same number as Smith. That's why Chandler Smith's on here, but Austin Hill's not, because how do I not take Chandler Smith at that number over Austin Hill? But Austin Hill's going to be hanging around. He's going to be in the top 5 at the end. He's going to, you know, have that chance and be somewhere in that range. But this is Chandler Smith. We already talked about this, Rod. Absolutely disrespectful. These guys should not even be matched up together. I'm very shocked at this. You go back and you look through the entire season. If you want to throw in the three super speedways in COTA, then yeah, the head-to-heads look pretty even, and Austin Hill's got more wins and all this. But, Rod, super speedways are a different animal. It's a different story. We have to take those out. We can't take them into account for this type of racing. And the road course takeout as well. So if you just use the 6 oval tracks that we've been on, non-super speedways and road courses this season, 5 out of 6 times Chandler Smith has beat Austin Hill. The one time he didn't is at Texas, where he got wrecked by Sheldon Creed and still ended up finishing 15th, which wasn't even a bad day. But Chandler Smith beat Austin Hill in all 5 of the other races. This one isn't even close, Rod. As much as I love Austin Hill, as much as Austin Hill's probably going to finish 5th or 7th or somewhere in that range and just be hanging around at the end of the day like he always is, Chandler Smith should be one of the better cars. He's going to have a chance to win this race. He might even win this race. And he shouldn't be matched up against Austin Hill, especially not at even money. I mean, if you're going to match these guys up, it should be Chandler Smith at like minus 140. A couple other books do have this matchup, and Smith is anywhere from minus 110 to minus 120. So Caesars is the place to go to get this one. Another one I'd probably get in on earlier in the week, because I think we're going to be looking back and be like, can you believe they even gave us these? So yeah, Chandler Smith over Austin Hill on Caesars plus 100, Rod.
I mean, it's tough, and again, because Austin Hill, especially on this track, right, he does have a second-place finish, he does have a fourth-place finish, a couple ninth-place finish, and a tenth-place finish, but it just, I don't know. Like, this season's Austin Hill is not looking like the kind of guy that you can count on for those type of finishes each and every week.
And like, I mean, yeah, he did have a couple of misses, right, where we were on him, but I still expect him to be fine, and maybe he is third or fourth place, but Chandler Smith is going to be first or second place, I think. Like, Chandler Smith is going to be more in, have a chance for the win than Austin Hill is. And he's the way faster car. I don't think that there's really any competition as far as that goes. And these are just two guys who shouldn't be matched up together, especially at this price.
I concur. Yeah, I did. I was looking at that one too, and I was like, ooh, that's good. And then you put it in there. I was like, oh, okay, good. I'm glad he got that in there. All right. John Hunter Nemechek. We talked about him at the opening of the show. He will be driving the 26 Sam Hunt Racing car, SHR. Nope, just kidding, Sam Hunt Racing. But listen, I think he's still talented enough. And this will be the first time that he started in anything other than the 20 car in the Xfinity Series. All of the starts that he's made so far this season has been in that Joe Gibbs 20 car. Of course, we know Eric Almirola is in that one instead. But John Arthur Nemechek, he's still got enough talent to get a top five finish. And at plus 225, this is one of those things where last season, right, when he was a full-time cup driver or full-time Xfinity driver, you would have never gotten a top five at plus 225 for John Hunter, no matter who was in the field. So this is one you have to scoop up while you can. Now, I will say that in the Xfinity races that he was in a couple seasons ago, right, in 2023 and 2020, actually 2023 last season, were the two that he was in the 20 car. He started on the pole in both of them, ended up finishing fifth and third. So again, we're just asking him to equal that at plus 225 for him to get that. But you look back too at his first couple of starts in that 26 car, right? In 2022, he was in the 26 car. He got a fourth place finish out of a 23rd place start. So he wasn't like he started at the front and stayed at the front. He plowed his way through the field and got his way up there. In 2022 in the fall, started 17th and finished 9th. I know that's not a top five start, but at the very least, it proved that he could improve his position up through the race. He does have a 21st place finish to start his career here as well. But again, three top five finishes in five starts between two different teams, between the 26 and the 20. So he's already proven before that he can do this in the 26 car, doing it in 2022 in the spring, which, by the way, again, the spring race, that may not be distance, but it, I guess it kind of has a little bit of bearing weather-wise maybe, or just the way and the time that they're doing it. But again, he's done it in the spring here in the 26 car already. We know how talented of a driver John Hunter Nemechek is. Like I said, all of his starts this season have come in that 20 car, but he does have a top three finish in Austin, right? And then he won Las Vegas in that 20 car, started third in Atlanta, but that's a super speedway. So yeah, I mean, again, really Vegas is kind of what you're looking at. He did win, right? I'm not asking him to win in this 26. I just want him to finish in the top five. And like I said, I'm not scared by Byron. I'm not scared by, well, I mean, I'll make a case for Amarola here in a second, but I still think that John Hunter Nemechek can find himself in the top five.
I'd be scared of Byron a little bit, Rod. But
well, I mean, for top five, you don't have to be scared. He can still win this race.
You're counting him in that. Yeah. No, for sure. And I mean, yeah, 10 starts in the 26 car and three times he's gotten the top five. So it's not impossible. It's not going to be as easy as it is in the 20 car by any means. But we know how good he is in this series. We've seen it again this season when he comes down. And yes, those are the JGR cars. But the Sam Hunt cars really overall, they still have their mechanical failures and they still have their issues, right? We know that. But they've put more money into that, cutting back to that one car team, and it's paid off. I think you're getting a good number for an extremely talented Xfinity Series driver who's in a little bit lesser equipment, but has still gotten it done before, can get it done again, Rod.
Indeed. All right, Cody, where are we going next?
Speaking of somebody who can get it done and has done it before, give me Ryan Sieg, top five, plus 750. Going to continue to ride this one, Rod. Ryan Sieg is actually finished in the top five at Darlington in this 39 car before. He did it with a third place finish in 2022. And then he has five top 11 finishes in the last eight races here, Rod. That means he's close at the end and he's there. Not only that, but we know that they upped their partnership with Stewart Haas Racing this season. And it has shown. Seventh place at Las Vegas. He had a really fast car there. Second place at Texas, Rod, by the skin on the edge of his teeth, right? That was that close to almost winning that race. Ends up with the second place finish. He was looking good at Dover 2 weeks ago in the first 25 laps. And then they had an issue, right, that cost him the day. I'm not going to hold that against him. Won $100,000 at Talladega 3 weeks ago. What do you think they've been doing with that $100,000 over the last 3 weeks, Rod? You think maybe they've been investing in that car and investing in some stuff to help them in this race? I think there's a decent chance that they have. So give me Ryan Sieg to finish in the top five, plus 750.
Yeah, they've been gambling with it to try to double up. So I love that. Just kidding. All right. Yeah, I mean, Ryan Sieg, for that plus 750 is a gigantic number. So if that ends up hitting, that's like Carson Quapel money again. And you'll notice that I don't think any of us are actually bringing up Carson Quapel. It would not surprise me if he went out.
This top five it's juicy again. There's a lot of juicy top five. And that was the problem that I ran into, because I've already given out Chandler. I've given out Mayer. Now I'm giving out Sieg. I mean, obviously, probably not all of these are going to hit, but you're hoping that some of them do. But I like the Love one. I like the Quapel one. Like, there's a lot of good top fives you can get invested in this week. So, again, to buffet, make your proper selections as to not overstuff yourself and pay for it later. But you got some good choices here.
Yeah, that's funny. Go back to the betting or the cup episode and you'll get that reference for sure. But yeah, absolutely.
I figure if they're listening to the Xfinity show, they probably listen to the cup show.
Right? I would hope they would. So, all right. Well, let's crowd that top spots even more. And I'm going to go ahead and toss in Eric Almirola as a top three car. And I know what you're thinking. I mean, again, this is sort of a one where you're like, well, but it's Eric Almirola. But dude, in that 20 car, like, he has actually looked really fantastic. And we were just talking earlier about that 20 car being fast with John Hunter Nemechek in it as well, winning races and finishing inside of the top five. Eric Almirola's got the talent to do that. His top three number is plus 225, which is should tell you something, because that's the same as John Hunter Nemechek, who drives that car, his top five number. So the books are really expecting him to get close to the top five in this. What has Eric Almirola done this season in that 20 car? Well, he finished second at Richmond and first at Martinsville. Again, not mile and a half, not miles, somewhere in between, right, where we're at here with this 1.3-mile track. So he's finished inside the top three in both of those races. Las Vegas was a 12th place finish, but he was in the 19 car. I know it's kind of apples and apples, but one's a red apple, one's a green apple. I don't really know how that works. But Phoenix started 8th, finished 31st. Of course, he did crash out of that race as well. So we know he's fast, and we know that he is good enough to do it, and we know that he's running part-time, which means he doesn't necessarily need to worry about points. Strategy can come into play in this to get him somewhere around where he needs to be. You know, so for Eric Almirola, top three number at plus 225, I really like it. Again, his top five number was not somewhere where I was looking at. Where am I looking at right now? Eric Almirola plus 120 for a top five. That just doesn't seem like good enough value to bet on it. However, I do think his top three number at twice that, and it's going to probably end up being there at the end. Like I said, won it and was in second place over the last couple of races that were of tracks that are not normal size. So yeah, give me Eric Almirola top three finisher at plus 225.
Yeah, I think if you're going to get on Almirola, top three probably is the way to go. If he's going to be top five, you're hoping to be top three for sure. He was a guy I wanted to bet on this weekend, but I couldn't really find any good ways to get in on it. So I think that is a good way, Rod. A pet that I absolutely love this weekend. I'm going to take a page out of your book, go for the winning car number. Winning car number on Caesars, odd, Rod. Minus 135, a little bit juiced up, yes, but you only pay the juice if you lose. Rod, odd cars in this race. William Byron is in the 17, right? He's already the favorite. Justin Allgaier is the next favorite. He's in the 7. Chandler Smith is in the 81. You could stop right there. If you're just giving me those three guys at minus 135 to win this race as an odd-numbered car, okay. But why stop there, Rod? Sam Mayer could win this race. He's in an odd-numbered car. Brandon Jones, it's an outside chance, but he's capable of winning. We know that, right? Josh Williams, you could toss him in there if you want to. Taylor Gray, maybe he gets it done. He's going to be in the 19 car. Austin Hill, we know he's capable of winning in an odd car, Rod. You know, you've got a Jeb Burton in there if you want it. Fine. Ryan Sieg, I just made the case for him top five. It probably would have to be something crazy like the end of the Texas race, but well, that was only two races ago where we saw something crazy at there, three races ago, whatever, something crazy at the end of the race there. You could toss him in there, right? You get Kyle Weather. Okay, maybe we're going a little bit too far there. But again, like, you're getting the big three here, which should be, in my opinion, should be the three favorites to win this race. Now, they're not according to the betting odds, but William Byron, you're getting him, which is huge. You get Justin Allgaier. Again, this is a safe way to bet on Allgaier without having to bet on Allgaier. And you get Chandler Smith. Then you toss in guys like Sam Mayer and these other guys too. Austin Hill being included in that, you know, really, like, when you look at the even side of things, you know, Cole Custer could burn you for sure. Eric Almirola, Sheldon Creed. I mean, they could do it, sure. Can John Hunter win in the 26? I don't know. You know, is Sammy Smith? You're not really worried about him. AJ Allmendinger. I mean, like, when you look at the other side of things, yeah, there's some guys who could get it done for sure. You know, Riley Herbst could win, but man, there's just so many more on the odd side of this. And you're getting the big three top dogs in this side. So, yeah, I don't care that it's minus 135. Only pay the juice if you lose, Rod. Winning car number. Odd over on Caesars.
Well, and honestly, that is all that you need, to be honest with you. If there's one car or one bet that you need, this is probably the one, because I agree with you. This, the winning car number is going to come from the odd side of the world, and it's just a matter of which one of those guys is going to be it. You pick your poison at that point, and I think we've picked the poison of three of those, in fact. Well, in the two of them. Oh, yeah.
Well,
three.
Yeah, I mean, well, really, so we're going to sort of end up one creative, but we're going to end up with four outrights here, and they're all odd-numbered cars, Rod. I think that, you know, sometimes it's like you could bet some even guys and then hedge with the odd side of thing, but I think we're so confident in odd-numbered cars this weekend that we're all in on, okay, hold on. Actually, every single bet that I've given out and will give out is on an odd-numbered car this week, Rod. So,
that is eerie.
There you go.
That's actually pretty
funny. I rest
funny.
My case for... honorable mention too for Jesse Love on the even side of things. I didn't mention him, and I feel like I should, because I think there's an outside chance he could win as well. But again, odd number side is much more loaded.
I agree. And in fact, the odd number side on the lower half of the spectrum is completely loaded too. So this number, I'm going to go with my winning car number, because that's what I do every single week, and I'm going to continue to do it until we stop getting listeners and they're like, stop doing it. So I'm going to take the winning car number, but I'm going to take it under 16.5. This is at plus 145. It's plus money for under. And the reason that it's plus money for the under, all right, is because William Byron sitting there in the 17. However, say again?
And Chandler Smith.
And Chandler Smith, yes. Those two are sitting above the cut line at 17 and 81, right? William Byron, the favorite to win this at plus 300. And then we'll talk about Chandler in a second, but... the thing of it is, right, and William Byron's the only favorite really that's under or that's over this number that's below Justin Allgaier, who is in that seven car. Let me list out for you first what you're getting in this as far as the under 16.5. You are getting Cole Custer. You are getting Sam Mayer. You're getting Jesse Love. You are getting Justin Allgaier. You're getting Sammy Smith and Brandon Jones, but that's really... so the
honorable
heavy,
mentions.
Honorable mentions, but the heavy hitters in there obviously are Cole Custer, Sam Mayer, Jesse Love, and Justin Allgaier as well. Those are some very, very heavy hitters in this, and Justin Allgaier alone makes a plus 145 almost worth it in this instance. But if you do get Cole Custer, who, like I said, has been like a second-place car, has been a fourth-place car, he's been right in the mix almost all of these races and all season long, then... you know, that's where you're at. There's a lot of heavy hitters on the other side of this too, a couple of them. But as far as the 17 car is concerned, here's the thing. The 17 car has only won one race this season, and that was Kyle Larson winning the road course race. So
I think that's the only time the 17 has won in this iteration of the Hendrick 17 car. I mean, it's been out there for a couple of seasons now. I'm pretty sure that was the first time it's made it to victory lane.
Yeah, it's not. This is not a car that you can count on winning each and every week. So it's a matter of, do you really think that this is going to be the car that actually wins this race? And I don't. I mean, I've got something to say about it later on. But by the same token, like, let's look at the 17 car finishes this season. In Phoenix, William Byron drove this, finished 23rd after starting 28th, and that was a day where that 17 car was not even in contention. Like, there was no, at no point did you go, hey, William Byron's got a shot to finish in this race or win this race or anything. He just wasn't there all day long, right? So, and then, of course, like I said, Kyle Larson comes out and wins the race at COTA. But yeah, I'm just saying, I don't think the 17 car, I'm not going to 100% say that the 17 car is going to win this race, because it hasn't yet. So I'm not scared of the 17 cut line. So give me the winning car under 16.5 at plus 145.
Yeah, I'd be a little bit scared of all the Joe Gibbs cars being over this and William Byron. But outside of that, there is quite a few guys underneath this that could win for sure. So not going to argue with you too much. Again, if I have to pick a winning number bet, it's going to be the odd numbered one. But I don't hate this one as well. Rod, I can't leave it off. Carson Quapple, top five, plus 500. It's officially added. He's 2-for-2, and he's still 5-to-1. I'm going to feel extremely stupid if I don't bet on this, and he does it again. So that's an official add of Quapple, top five. Before we head into the winner's section, Rod, Little bit of a tough week again. Byron here kind of, you know, pushes things at the top, and I wanted to make a case to bet on him. I don't know though. Like you kind of made the case a little bit there with how the 17 car hasn't always done that great, and even Byron hasn't done it. So I'm just going to go with two guys that I love that I've already talked about multiple times. And you're getting great numbers on them. Chandler Smith at 11-1, Sam Mayer at 16-1. I've already made the cases for these guys. If either of these guys comes out and leads every single lap and wins this race, you shouldn't be surprised. And you're getting them at 11-1 and 16-1. Chandler Smith is in the best week-to-week car, I think, hands down. And Sam Mayer is a strong JRM car. Again, there's kind of two tiers over there. You've got Allgaier and Mayer, and then you've got Jones and Smith, and he's one of those top-tier guys. And Allgaier is plus 450 in this, and Mayer is plus 1,600 when Mayer's got three top three finishes in the last three regular oval tracks. So it just doesn't make any sense to me why these guys are being disrespected. Basically, if Sam Mayer and Chandler Smith don't have a good day, neither will my card, Rod, for the most part. But if these guys have good days, which I fully expect them to do, I think we might clean up this weekend. And I'm just going to lean heavy into these two guys. So I think that they're being disrespected across the entire board, including their outrights here. So Chandler Smith, 11-1, Sam Mayer, 16-1.
Yep. I can't argue with you on either one, except to say that maybe my love for Sam Mayer, maybe, and my love for JRM, maybe clouding my own judgment, but I will leave it at that. I like Sam Mayer at 16-1. He's capable of winning races, but these damn pianos and JRM just can't seem to shake these things. So
he shook it three races in a row.
Yeah, he did. But we'll see if that luck lasts four in a row. All right. My is going to be, again, my love for JRM clouds my mind, but I'm going to take Justin Allgaier to finally punch through and finally end up winning a race that he is fully capable of winning. Justin Allgaier on this track, right? He has won. He won in 2022, fourth, second, seventh. He's been in the mix. And if I think he's going to be in the top five, I think he's going to be in contention for the win. I already talked to you earlier about his finishes this season and how it basically makes you to where you feel very yucky placing this outright bet on him. And I get it. His outright is at plus 450. It's still a pretty decent number considering that William Byron is driving his odds up a little bit. So, again, you're getting a better number than I think you would have. He probably would have been in this plus 300 range had William Byron not been in this. So if you're getting a little boost in odds for Justin Allgaier, take a stab at Justin Allgaier because he's going to be in the mix. He's going to be one of the fastest cars all day long, and he may be the fastest car. He may not have a tire go down on him. He may not have problems in the race. His teammates may not be gunning for him a la Spy Hunter style and leaving oil slicks all over the place and, you know, clouds of fog trying to get him to crash into other cars. If any of that stuff doesn't happen to Justin Allgaier, I think he wins this race, plus 450. I also did a little – we don't parlay very much on this. In fact, I'm watching the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
We should do it more, Rod.
Yeah, we should. I'm watching the Pirates of the Caribbean movies with my daughters, and the word parlay popped up, and I was like, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that for this race. So I decided to say, well, if William Byron is the favorite to win this race and William Byron has an opportunity to win on Sunday – let's put the two together and let's see what we come up with, right? So I put Byron to win the Xfinity race on Saturday and the Cup race on Sunday. You're going to get plus 3,500. You got 35-1 on Caesars for him to do the weekend sweep. Do I think it's going to happen? Nah. Is it fun to try to root for it? Yeah. At 35-1, if it hits, are you going to be mad? No. So again, this is one of those D-gen only type parlays where William Byron taking the weekend sweep at 35-1. I feel like is a pretty fun. I mean, again, if he's the favorite to win this, and if he does, then you'll be happy because you're holding one half of it now. And then if he comes out and actually does well and wins on Sunday, then you got the other half and you're eating steak.
Yeah, I mean, really the way to look at it, he's the favorite to win the Xfinity race. So if he's, you know, the favorite and if he ends up winning, now you're earning a 35-1 for William Byron to win the Cup race on Sunday. So I think that you're getting a pretty solid deal there. And why not? We've seen the sweep happen time and time again, Rod. No reason it couldn't happen again this weekend. And he's very capable of it. And he's the favorite in the Xfinity race like he should be. And he's the defending race winner in the spring here at Darlington as well in the Cup Series side of things.
Yep. So again, not necessarily a long shot without legs. It most certainly has a small shot at cashing. So, which is why it's 35-1, but still, how much fun would that be? All right, everybody, get out your pen and paper. It is time to go over the bets. And of course, for those of you watching on YouTube, it is time for that beautiful purple Royal Crown Royal purple bag logo to flash on your screen and for our bets to be on the screen. All right, Cody started you off with Chandler Smith as a top five car at plus 140. I gave you Jesse Love to finish better than Brandon Jones at minus 110. Cody gave you Sam Mayer as a top five car at plus 220. Added on top Chevy at plus 750. Sorry, I think I must have missed that. That's not on the graphics, so make sure you're listening. I gave you Cole Custer and Justin Allgaier to both finish inside of the top five at plus 220. Cody gave you Chandler Smith to finish better than Austin Hill at plus 100. I gave you John Hunter Nemechek as a top five car at plus 225. Cody gave you Ryan Sieg as a top five car at plus 750. Added on Carson Kwapel as a top five car at 5-1 as well. Again, not on the graphic, but part of the official betting card. Eric Almirola was my next one for a top three car at plus 225. And then Cody gave you the winning car number odd at minus 135. I said that the winning car number would be under 16.5 at plus 145. Cody gave you Chandler Smith at 11-1, Sam Mayer at 16-1 to win the race. I said Justin Allgaier would win at 4.5-1 and tossed in a William Byron to win the Xfinity race and Cup race at 35-1 to win this Crown Royal Purple Bag Project 200 at the Darlington Raceway.
This is why it pays to listen, Rod, because I like to change my mind and mess up your graphic.
I mean, I put so much time and effort into typing all this stuff, and then all of a sudden I'm reading and it's wrong. No, I'm just kidding. I don't care.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's the nature of this beast.
Shit happens.
It's a living, breathing show. So we're doing this graphic for those of you who asked that wanted this reference graphic. So again, hope you listen to the show because I do go over them at the end and make sure that I get it right. So. All right, Cody, all that's left is to send these cars out to practice and race and have some fun, and hopefully we can cash some bets off of that.
Yes, sir. I'm excited. Again, heavily invested in these two fellas, but I feel very confident in being in behind them, and I think we're going to have another good Xfinity race like we do pretty much every week.
Yeah, I mean, the Cup race is always such a crapshoot most of the time, but these trucks and Xfinity races are where we cut our teeth, so... having a lot of fun doing that, and glad the Xfinity race is back, and glad we got all three series back in action.
Me too.
All right, Cody. Well, then, as we ride off into the sunset and allow others to do the same, why don't you let everybody know where they can find you outside of the gates of this house we got going on?
Yeah, follow me over on the X at @Husker_Z. You can find all my stuff there. Tomorrow morning, which would be Thursday morning, should have a underdog article coming out for sportsgamblingpodcast.com. with some Cup Series underdog plays I like over there. So make sure you're checking that out. And you know what, Rod? I might toss in an Xfinity play. I know we're gonna talk about probably some Xfinity on the show later this week, but I'm going to toss a bonus Xfinity one in there. So make sure you check out that article. A lot of you guys are reading the articles every week, so we appreciate that. And be back tomorrow. Down trucks. We got all three this week, Rod. Been a few weeks since we had all three. I love it. It is absolutely my favorite when we've got all three series. So another betting show tomorrow. Can't wait to do it all over again.
Cannot wait to do it all over again. Follow me on Twitter at @RJVillagomez. Link in the bio to everything I got going on, whether it's here, whether it's Sportsbook Review, whether it's In Between Media, all kinds of crazy stuff going on. Just make sure you're following me there and keep up with it. We'll see you guys tomorrow with our truck episode and then later on in the week for DFS. So until then, everyone, let's go racing and let it ride. Another piece of us is broken. Eyes cry till they